You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Hello and welcome to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm your host, Dr. Kristen Lierley. You guys ready to get this party started? I am. And we are going to go super hometown today, like hyper local to the little town of Freedom. When I was growing up, that's what my dad always called it, the little town of Freedom. And we talked about it because it's like straight north of Kaukauna, where I grew up. And if you're not familiar with where it's located, just draw a line between Green Bay and Appleton and go halfway and then just vector out to the west and you'll find yourself in Freedom. It is the crossroads of the Fox Valley. It is not a little town. There are about 6,200 people in Freedom. And you may be familiar with it because there's a delightful drive-in theater there that people from all over Northeast Wisconsin show up to Freedom to go to Field of Scenes. Amanda, have you been there?
I have not.
Have you been to a drive-in movie ever?
Yeah, actually, for the first time, I went about 6 years ago, and it was in Illinois.
It's a party.
It is.
Yeah, like you show up, you grill out. It's like a tailgate almost.
I mean, essentially it is. And it's honestly a little more cozier than going to the theater because you got great weather mm-hmm. and then you got snacks and then you can just lay in the back of your car. It's great.
Mm-hmm. It is. So there's a reason to go to Freedom if mm-hmm. you're not familiar. But here's another reason. Just a few weeks ago, the good people of Freedom reelected their town chair, who just happens to be my guest today. He is also the parks director for Outagamie County and in classic Northeast Wisconsin style, he is the nephew of one of my high school classmates. That's true. So back in January, my Kaukauna High School classmate, Mike Schumacher, and I were chatting about politics like we typically do after he's gone for a bike ride and had a beer or two with his friends. And he suggested that I get in touch with Justin. He said, I think you two would have a lot to talk about. And so we had a fabulous conversation. Justin kept me company during a substantial part of my 7-hour commute to Minnesota to work. And we could have gone on and on. We talked about everything. It was delightful. So we cut it off and said, hey, let's have this conversation on the radio because Justin has so much to say. So we're picking it up here. Justin Schumacher, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be having this conversation with you because you have a lot of thoughts.
I do.
I know. So how does a kid who graduated from Hortonville High School and went to school at UWGB, you got a bachelor's in public administration, how did you get interested in public service?
So growing up, I was actually in Boy Scouts. I am an Eagle Scout, and that kind of tipped off my interest in public service, my interest in government. Growing up, my dad actually worked for the highway department at Outagamie County, and he was the elected chair and still is of Ellington, Wisconsin, which is just outside of Hortonville.
Uh-huh. This runs in the family.
It does.
Uh-huh. I love that.
And then, fun enough, growing up, I worked on a farm, and the gentleman that had the farm was also a town chairperson. So I was just always surrounded by kind of that hyper-local politics of town government.
Mm-hmm. What was your Eagle Scout project?
My Eagle Scout project was, weirdly enough, developing the Farmers Park in Ellington.
Really?
It was. And then I went to school for aviation, had no interest in parks.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward after working at an airport and for the highway department myself for 10 years, I took over as the parks director last September for the county, having very little parks background, but it's kind of fun how it all kind of comes full circle.
Mm-hmm. So what does the parks director do? We all love our parks, but we have no clue what your job is.
So parks director really, it's a liaison between the community and the cultural goals it has. So it's providing those soft spaces, those gathering spaces, as the area urbanizes, that concrete jungle kind of feel. It provides those spaces for people to gather for sports, for leisure, at Plowman Park, we have our lake area. So we have swimming, we have disc golf. It brings people together from various backgrounds and gives them a place to gather and to utilize public spaces that aren't necessarily costly or cost prohibitive. It's our park system's free to use. We have a nature center. So it's education, sustainability, and, you know, just really, really looking to provide those public outlets.
Mm-hmm.
So my job is community engagement. It's planning where we want to be in the future, really looking at trends in sports. Right now, pickleball's huge. So,
right, yes. Where can we play pickleball in Outagamie County?
I know Appleton has a few courts. Plowman Park's actually installing some this fall. Uh-huh. We're installing 2 standalone and then 4 multi-use courts.
Instead of tennis courts? Are they like repurposing tennis courts or are they new? No,
they're going to be brand new. And then the multi-purpose court's going to be tennis, basketball, or 4 pickleball courts.
Oh, that's so great.
So that's going to be an addition this fall.
That's amazing.
Yes.
So you help to provide that vision, the implementation, making sure that the parks are serving the needs of the people.
Basically, yes. So we do a master planning process, we call it our comprehensive outdoor recreation plan. We update it every 5 years. It's heavy on public engagement. It's doing surveys. It's looking for all the different groups in our area that would use it. And it's interesting in Outagamie County, you have a very urbanized center and you have a very rural area to the north.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's finding that mixture of needs of what does the urban environment require and what does the rural environment want to see. So it's a mixture of passive parks, walking trails, bike trails. It's active sports parks for... we partner with Grand Chute Baseball, Pop Warner Football. They just opened Challenger Field this last fall, which is for those with other needs, disabled.
Like wheelchairs?
Wheelchairs, mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a turf field that they're able to bring in and enjoy Pop Warner Football in a safe environment. So mm-hmm. Very cool to partner with these nonprofits and bring community goods.
That's so great. We're talking with Justin Schumacher. He is the director of parks in Outagamie County. He is also the town chair in Freedom. I live in Ledgeview and I know my town chair. I love my town chair. I have no idea what his job is.
Yeah. So it's very interesting because up till 2 years ago in my first term when I was elected, the Town of Freedom acted like many small towns do. You have an elected board of officials. You have a chair that kind of heads that board, but they try to respond to the community's needs. They provide legislative policy. They provide direction to the town. 2 years ago when I took over, we actually brought in our first administrator. And so we professionalized staff to better help the needs of the community or be more responsive to the needs of the community. As we talked about, I serve as the parks director full time. I'm an elected chair part time. So mm-hmm. I get phone calls all the time. You're trying to respond to people's ditches that aren't draining, to what do I do with my garbage? I have brush in town. Where do I get a burning permit, a building permit? How do TIDs work? And it was a lot. And as you said, we have over 6,000 people.
Growing.
And
it's growing fast.
It is. And so we really focused on professionalizing staff, bringing in a full-time administrator, which is what I went back to school for in my 30s.
Uh-huh.
I feel it's been very successful. We obviously, it's new. We've had some areas where we've tripped up and made some mistakes, but we learn from them. We keep moving on. And, mm-hmm. you know, we really engage with the community and we ask for positivity and support as we transition our kind of form of government.
It sounds like things have changed a lot since you picked up this role. What do you think are the biggest challenges that you're facing in your role in Freedom?
Honestly, education, just trying to teach people the new ways to go about things. It used to be a call to a board member and a handshake agreement to have my sports program running at the ball fields at the park. And nothing was in writing. Nothing was, it was all institutional knowledge. So if your board member that was on the board for 30 years left. Nobody had anything to go off of. There wasn't a contract signed. So really it was approaching all of these groups in a non-confrontational way and explaining, like, I'd like to develop contracts to protect you and the town. So that way we can work together in harmony. We understand where each other's barriers are to success. We can work through those barriers together instead of not talking, working against each other, handshake agreements that not everybody understands, and really getting that piece out there so people know where to go, when to go there, and how the processes work. So it seems bureaucratic, but it actually becomes much more responsive and much more fair and easier to understand, more transparent, so people understand how those processes work.
This is a big change in culture.
It is.
How have people responded to that? Because when you're used to, especially if you live in a small town, when you're used to how things run and then things are running differently, there can be a lot of pushback.
There has been a lot of pushback. There's also been a lot of positive reinforcement of people thanking us for finally bringing something that's responsive to their needs.
Mm-hmm.
Really, when we hired our administrator, the biggest thing we looked for and the biggest thing we stressed through the hiring process was humbleness.
Mm.
Understanding that it is a big change, that this isn't something that we can just force through and make people understand, that it's going to take months and years of kind of turning the other cheek and being the bigger person and just educating and explaining of why we're doing what we're doing, the benefits it'll bring, and asking for that grace to give us the chance to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And if we trip up along the way or you have suggestions, please reach out to us. We're open to those changes, but we want to try something to make it better than what it was.
And are you hearing generally positive feedback? Are people feeling optimistic?
I would say so. So as you said, I was gracefully reelected. My opponent and myself, it never went negative. It was a very positive experience.
That's great.
It was enlightening, and the feedback we got on social media was, thank you. This is the only campaign that didn't go negative. It was respectful. It became that town square of ideas.
Mm-hmm. How it should be.
Right. It's what differentiates ourselves.
Yeah. Well, we hear a lot these days about cutting waste, fraud, and abuse, and I'm sure you see this in your job. So how do we do that while maintaining essential services and programs like parks, but so much more? That's what we're going to talk about when we come back. This is Dr. Kristen Lyerly. You're listening to the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
I want to learn just how to love. I want to listen. I've had enough.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show. It's me, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and I am here with my friend Justin Schumacher. He's the town chair in Freedom. He's also the director of parks for Outagamie County. And before we get back into the meat of it, I just wanted to introduce our music is from Foreign Fields. I always like to highlight these smaller bands. And this is a band that's been around for a long time. They're from Western Wisconsin. They're kind of an alt indie groove. You can find them anywhere you listen to your music. So tune in to Foreign Fields. We'll hear a couple more cuts from them throughout the show today. But back to the meat, Justin. You ready for this?
I am.
Okay, here we go. Conservatives are known for wanting to shrink government. And we have seen drastic cuts to government jobs and services and programs. And I think that we can all agree that there is likely waste, fraud, and abuse. That's like a thing we keep hearing over and over again. That does exist in the system, but many of the cuts that we've seen have been pretty haphazard. And some of them have been reversed pretty quickly, and others we haven't quite felt the consequences yet. We really won't until they trickle down and affect us personally. Now, for you, you kind of see it from both sides. You're a county employee, but you also serve as the town chair. So you're also the leader. You're steeped in all of this stuff. I would love your thoughts as someone who is not in Washington, D.C., but you are like right where people can access you. You know, you said it earlier. Somebody's got a ditch that's not draining. They call you, or they did before you had an administrator. So what is, from your perspective, what is the role of government in our lives?
So, I mean, government is the social contract we make to reach for kind of that greater good. They solve the problems that private sector either can't solve or can't solve affordably. When you look at waste, fraud, abuse, efficiency, these are all terms. It absolutely exists. Everywhere you go, you can find, whether it's a private business, a government organization, you have good employees, you have bad employees. There's always things that can be done differently. There's things that can learn. Where it comes to government, though, they're the ones that are there when you need them, when disaster happens, when the tornado comes through. You know, last night, I'm a parks director watching the weather going, what's my role in our EOC, our Emergency Operations Center, our continuing operations of government? Because my role when something like that happens is I close a park and I go downtown and we start coordinating with law enforcement. We start coordinating with our highway departments and we open roads back up and my crews go out with chainsaws and we cut trees. So
all the stuff that we take for granted.
Correct. And it's stuff that we don't really think about on a day to day. You know, I'm trying to figure out what kind of inflatables to put in a pond, and the next day we could be, you know, clearing Highway 41 of trees and power lines. It can flip on a dime, and that's why government's here. It's not necessarily here, and I'll say, it's not the most efficient thing in the world. It's not the profit-driving private business that everyone may wish it to be, but it's the thing that we need when everything else goes wrong and it becomes absolutely necessary for somebody to step up. That's when government's there, is to make sure that we serve not only those that can afford it, but those that can't, and those that might not ask for it. But we have to be there for everyone, not just those that can pay for it.
Right. I think it's really easy to say waste, fraud, and abuse because it's just three words that come out of your mouth. But then when you actually look below the surface and you ask, well, where is that waste? Where is the fraud? Where are all of those things? It's hard to actually identify where those things are. And like you said, you know, it certainly does exist in government, but it's not, it's so different than business. It's not a profit. The purpose is not to generate profits. The purpose is to take care of the citizenry.
Correct. Yeah. When you look at private business and profitability, you go for efficiency. It's like basic economics says, capitalism, it's a race to the bottom. It's cutting your inputs to maximize your outputs and maximize your profit. In a system like that, if we implemented that as government, there would be those that have and those that don't. And those that don't would be left behind. And that isn't what I believe we were founded on. I don't believe that's what I was elected to do, is find those in my township that are the best and keep them and then forego everybody else. My goal is to serve everybody, whether you voted for me or not. My goal is to serve all of my constituency.
Yes.
And my goal as a parks director is to serve the elected officials that were elected by that constituency. So to talk to my county board, to talk to my executive, to have this community outreach and figure out what do they need, what are they lacking, how can we provide services that they would otherwise not get. That is why government's here. It's not, everything isn't profit driven. It's not about making a dollar. It's about trying to be sustainable and trying to provide those services to those that need it.
I think in some ways it's like a victim of its own success. Like as a physician, I think about public health, for example, and like the success of vaccines. And the better vaccines are, the less sick we are. So the more we think that we don't need it because we take it for granted. And then we start to see people thinking that they shouldn't get vaccinated. but then we start to see more people getting sick. And government is kind of the same thing.
Well, it is. And it's unique in the fact that it is taxpayer money, and there is a lot of transparency and accountability of what that is. There's plenty of laws out there, Freedom of Information Act. You know, as a government employee, if you ask me for every text on my cell phone, I hand you my cell phone. Mm-hmm. That's how transparent it is. There is nothing that's hidden. But we also expect perfection all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We're not allowed to take a chance. So government becomes very conservative in nature because they're very risk adverse. Because if you spend money and it doesn't work, that's bad. Private sector.
Because it's our money.
Because it's our money.
Yeah.
But at the same point, private sector can blow up 100 rocket ships to have the one that makes it.
Uh-huh. And they often have to.
They have to.
That's part of the process.
That's kind of how innovation works.
Mm-hmm.
And when people say government's not innovative, it's not responsive, I can't disagree with that. So, you know, is it that they're not innovative and not responsive, or we don't give them the latitude to try? And I think there's a lot of talented people that work there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're very mission driven and they care about the communities that they serve. And if we were to give the grace and latitude to try and allow mistakes to happen and to learn from them, I think it could be much more responsive to the people that it serves.
Mm-hmm. And just briefly, why do you think that people believe that the government should be run like a business?
That just seems to be a talking point as of late, that we can find this really efficient way to do everything. And when you really break it down of what the multiple roles of any government service are, it actually is pretty efficient mm-hmm. when you step back.
It's almost like we need more education. Like, well, do you like your sewers? Do you like the roads? Do you like your garbage pickup? Do you like...
Yes.
Yeah, all of those things. All right. I have a rich question for you, and we need to take a break right now, so you have a minute to think about it. You ready?
I am.
Can you say why America is the greatest country in the world? Not a reflex answer, but a real answer when we come back. This is Dr. Kristen Lierley, and you're listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. It's me, Dr. Kristen Lierley, here with my guest, Justin Schumacher. He's the town chair in Freedom. He's also the parks director for Outagamie County. We're talking about government from a local perspective, very local, the little town of Freedom, including government all the way up to the top. If you missed the beginning of our conversation, you can always find it wherever you get your podcasts. And you can always find me right here on Saturdays and Sundays at 3 on WGBW and WISS, and of course, streaming on the Civic Media app. So back to business, Justin. You mentioned that you are rewatching the wonderful show, The Newsroom.
I am.
It's so good. It has one of the greatest opening scenes ever.
It does.
Yeah. So one of my sons came home from school one day, high school, and said, "You've got to watch." This was ages ago, and sat us down and we watched it. And I was wowed. So I'll describe it to our audience if they haven't seen it. Highly recommend it if you haven't. Jeff Daniels is one of three journalists who are sitting on a stage in a panel. And these journalists were asked the question, "Can you say why America is the greatest country in the world?" And the first panelist says, "Diversity and opportunity." And the second panelist said, "Freedom and freedom, and let's keep it that way." And then Jeff Daniels' character tries to, he's kind of bored, you know, he's a little burnt out, and he says, "The New York Jets," and everybody laughs. But the moderator holds him to the question, and he seems to have this little epiphany, and he decides to answer the question honestly instead of using talking points, which is so refreshing. And he then goes on to tell the audience why he believes that America isn't actually the greatest country in the world anymore. and he brings receipts. He talks about all the things that we used to be great at and how we are now trailing all of the other developed countries. And then he goes on to say this.
Sure used to be. We stood up for what was right. We fought for moral reasons. We passed laws, struck down laws for moral reasons. We waged wars on poverty, not poor people. We sacrificed, we cared about our neighbors, we put our money where our mouths were, and we never beat our chest. We built great big things, made ungodly technological advances, explored the universe, cured diseases, and we cultivated the world's greatest artists and the world's greatest economy. We reached for the stars, acted like men. We aspired to intelligence. We didn't belittle it. It didn't make us feel inferior. We didn't identify ourselves by who we voted for in the last election, and we didn't scare so easy. We were able to be all these things and do all these things because we were informed by great men, men who were revered. First step in solving any problem is recognizing there is one. America is not the greatest country in the world anymore.
That's so powerful.
It is.
Yeah. How does that speak to you?
Really deeply. You know, I think it takes a perspective of a lot of the movements we see today that may... I don't know that we're as divided as we think we are. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people want the same things. To me, that speaks to, you know, it's nostalgic. You look back of the space race, the kind of the heroes, right? World mm-hmm. War II, we stepped in.
9/11.
Yes.
Yeah.
All the stuff where we came together.
Mm-hmm.
And two, amazing how relevant a 15-year-old show still is. Like, that's... But no, like what I love about not only that clip, but the show in general is it doesn't point fingers and say it's somebody else's problem to solve.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just that he came with receipts, but it was, we used to be this and this is how we can get there again.
Yeah.
It's a path forward and it's moving in a positive light instead of spreading negativity, saying it's somebody else's fault. This is what's wrong. It's always this blame game today where this is much more of the, we recognize a problem. Let's work together to solve it because that's what we used to do. And it seemed to work pretty darn well.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to that. Why are we abandoning what has worked for us for 200 years, 300 years?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we walking away from that? And that's how I've taken my approach to how I lead. It's my approach to how I work in town government. It's how I encourage people to engage with their officials, to engage with their community. Come with ideas. Come with positivity. We can all point out problems. We can be problem staters or we can be problem solvers.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to surround myself with those that want to solve problems.
Yes. Yes, 100%. And that's how it works in our communities, with our neighbors, as we're talking to each other. Those are the real tangible things. But then you look at what's happening on a higher level with media and how we are divided. You know, things have changed a lot since 2012 when that newsroom clip first came out. I mean, we've got Facebook, we've got all the different social media pieces, and we live in our rabbit holes. And I've definitely noticed, I mean, we talked about waste, fraud, and abuse earlier, but we tend to speak in slogans and we tend to believe in those things that are like seared into our minds, and that divides us. We've got to get past that. How do we do it?
I think it's getting involved. I mean, those slogans, those talking points, those easy to go to, waste, fraud, and abuse, make America great again, like whatever those things are, they're easy and they're easy to identify with. And you feel like you're part of a group and, mm-hmm. and you're working towards a common goal, but you really haven't gone in and recognized like, what is the waste, fraud, and abuse? So like, how do we solve it? get involved.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to run for the town supervisor position. Join your parks committee.
Mm-hmm.
Join the planning commission and understand that the builder that's mad on Facebook, that's mad at the town, is only mad because the planning commission is following a zoning law, or uh-huh. they're making sure the right permits are there so that the person that buys the spec house is protected and doesn't buy something that's going to fall down or fail them after they've invested their entire life savings into a home for their family in a community they want to live in.
Mm-hmm.
We have things in place to make sure that that house is a home and it's not just a money trap, that they lose everything that they ever worked for when they move into that community. So that's where, by getting involved and understanding why the things are in place that are in place, and if you see things that don't work for us anymore, because as an instance, we're rewriting our Outagamie County zoning law right now. The last time it was updated, 1989, that's when I was born. It's not effective any longer. And
yeah.
The people at DLS recognize that, and they put together a steering committee.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing community outreach. They're updating it so it's responsive to what we need today.
Mm-hmm.
We can do that over and over and over again. That takes time, it takes money, and it takes involvement. So if we want to stop waste, fraud, and abuse, become involved. Recognize it from the very lowest level in town government. You want to know where your money goes? Join a board.
Mm-hmm.
Understand where it goes. Understand that we need 10 things. We have money for 3. How do you choose those 3?
Yes.
No matter what you do, somebody's going to question the decision. They're going to be mad about it. All we can do is offer quantitative and qualitative data that supports the decisions we make, and we make it in a fair and, you know, thought-based process that is easily understood, and you don't have to agree with me, but you're going to understand why I made the decision I made.
Right. We don't agree with the people we love the most all the time.
Exactly.
But that's okay. That's all part of it.
Right.
Yeah. And the seats that you are talking about are often seats that are unchallenged, where you're dragging people along. I mean, I know the Brown County Board seats here. We often have to beg people to run for these seats. And I don't know if it's just that people are dissatisfied, they don't want to be part of government, if they don't think it's important, but we need citizens to step up and engage in exactly the way that you just mentioned. That's how we solve these problems.
It is. And I understand that when you run for these seats, it's tough. You are accountable to your neighbors. When you're at the grocery store, someone approaches you and says, "I don't like what you did." And
okay.
Before you know it, you're having a 15-minute conversation in the cereal aisle about the economics of a baseball diamond.
This sounds way too specific.
But, you know, that's what education's about. That's what being part of a community is.
Yeah.
It's being available. It's not setting necessarily office hours. It's going, this is not just a job. This is something I ran for. This is something that I'm stepping up for my community to be a part of. And no matter where you find me, I don't want the conversation to start with, "Sorry, I know you're not at work."
Mm-hmm.
I want the conversation to start with, "I had this great idea and I think you're the person I need to bring it to. What are my next steps?"
That's amazing and so right. And I just want to reemphasize, you don't have to agree on everything.
No.
It's that whole process of listening to each other and finding that common ground and taking the politics piece out of it and solving the problems.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at like big picture problems, even in the last 100 years, I mean, I turn on my water at home and I know it's clean and I can drink it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to get sick because there's things in place to stop that from happening.
Right.
I don't even think about it, how government affects my life. I know that my roads are safe, that if I hit a guardrail, it's going to respond in a certain way because somebody spent hours and hours to watch cars hit guardrail to figure out how it worked.
Right. If you have a fire at your house, you know the fire department's going to be there.
The fire department's coming.
Yes.
And not everything goes perfect, but it's a lot better than the alternative.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, at the end of the day, you have to ask, like, are we... Back to the newsroom clip, like, are we a society that is reaching for better for everyone, or is it really an every man for themselves I'm going to get ahead by walking on you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that that's where we want it to go. I don't think that's where we came from. I think that's just where some loud voices are pointing us right now.
Do you think where we are right now, the bureaucracy is responding to the needs of the people? It sounds like on your level, you've made some real efforts in Freedom, within the park system. In general, do you think the bureaucracy is responsive?
No, I think if it was responsive, we wouldn't be in the position we're in right now. We wouldn't be as divided as we appear to be. And again, I don't think we are as divided as we appear to be. I think that those that serve in government want to be better. Mm-hmm. They want the latitude to try things, to fail, to learn from it, to be more engaged in the process. We've set up a system that doesn't necessarily allow that. That doesn't mean we burn the entire system down.
Mm-hmm.
That means we go through and we allow actual, like, qualitative metrics to assess and to study and to understand where are we good,
mm-hmm.
and where are we not good,
mm-hmm.
and to recognize where we're not good and improve it. That's what running my department's about. That's what being the chair of a town is about. That's what working with my professional staff at the town is about. Going, hey, you know, every 6 months we sit down and we go through, we did this well. This is areas we need to improve. And I don't tell my staff how to improve. I ask them for ideas of how they think we can do better in areas where we've had less than stellar feedback. And we work together.
And you're using data and science to drive what comes next to address the needs of the people.
That's what I try to do with everything. That way it's not subjective. I can go back and say, this worked, this is the plan. If it doesn't work at this point, this is what we're going to go back to and try something else.
Mm-hmm. That's just brilliant. Hey, Justin, national politics, as you alluded to earlier, are dividing us in our own neighborhoods and even in small towns. And I know that you have ideas about how we can rise above this engagement. You already said it, but there's more. So when we come back, that's what we're going to talk about with our guest, Freedom Town Chair and Director of Parks for Outagamie County, Justin Schumacher. And I'm Dr. Kristen Lyerly with the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and Justin Schumacher and I are just hanging out together. He's the town chair in Freedom. He's also the parks director for Outagamie County. And we're just talking about politics like we so comfortably do here in Northeast Wisconsin. During the break, Justin said, this is just my bar talk.
Yeah, it is, sadly.
All right. So we see a lot of examples about how politics on a national level divide us in our communities and in our neighborhoods. And I'll tell you that when I was running for Congress, when I drove into Freedom, there was a giant MAGA sign right there. And immediately my gut reaction was, these are probably not my people. And I don't want that. I don't want that to divide us, but it's so hard sometimes. And when there's so much emotion involved and so much of who we are is tied up into which team you're on, it shouldn't be like that, but it is. How do we rise above this so we can do the work that makes a difference right here in our own homes and our businesses, our schools, our farms, all of it?
Yeah, again, I mean, so before this last election, like going into it, having opposition, that was my fear, right? Like, is this going to turn into got you politics? I caught you in, you said you were doing 5, but you did 4.9. Gotcha.
yes.
And I'm like, how do I respond to that? Like, how do I keep it positive? How do I not buy into this getting ahead off of somebody else's failure, mm-hmm. Essentially. And I was so fortunate. And I'll say it again, you know, when after the election, that was something I made sure to do, is to thank my opponent for never going negative, never going there. And not only that, but then the feedback from the public that they not only respected that, but they craved that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're as far away as we think we are. We just need to stop rewarding negative politics.
Yeah.
We need to stop rewarding the got you moments, or the he brought receipts, or the put him in his place, sent him home with his tail between his legs. That's old school. There's no room for it. If we really want to grow as a community, we're going to disagree. We're going to disagree on some very, very fundamental issues.
And that's okay.
That is perfectly okay.
Yes.
Because those are the conversations we need to have.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the conversations where I'm happy, as I said, my bar talk.
Sorry to bust you.
No, that's okay. You know, I'm sure I bore my friends sometimes. They're like, we just want to talk about the weather. And I'm like,
you picked the wrong guy.
So, I mean, how do we get there? I think it's really being passionate about the things that you want to be passionate about. Become the expert in your thing and allow other people to be the experts in theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And engage and trust and listen to what they're trying to tell you. I'm not an expert on everything. I know a lot about a lot, and I know a little about a lot.
Uh-huh.
Enough to be dangerous most times.
But you know who to talk to when you need more information.
And that's exactly it. I would not be successful. Like I said, I took over as a parks director with very little parks background. But I have a group of people. I have a network of people that I can go to, and I can go, so I've never built this. What are your suggestions?
Mm-hmm.
I've never done this. What are the things I have to watch out for? This is how we become better together, instead of just individuals feeling our way through the world.
By ourselves.
Right.
Which leads me to my next question. A lot of our listeners are wanting to get involved. They're wanting to engage. Some of them are wanting to run for office. How do you take that first step? How did you take that first step? It was in your blood.
It was.
But you still had to do stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, honestly, I would love to see it become easier. It's confusing. I walked down, I pulled nomination papers, and you have to fill all of this stuff out about finance committees and who's your treasurer. And I'm like,
it's a lot of stuff.
I don't even know if I'm going to buy signs. Like, I don't know what kind of campaign I'm running for a town or a school board position. But it's really talking to those that have gone through it before and going, hey, walk me through this. Be super humble. Ask dumb questions. It's okay.
Yeah.
Know that whatever you're running for because it's your passion. It's your mission. That's your focus. The rest of this is just pieces to the puzzle to get you there. Ask those questions. Figure out how to do it. But, I mean, it's as simple as pulling nomination papers, going on Facebook or going door to door and meeting the people in your community and seeing what needs to happen.
It's that core stuff that matters. Like the mechanics, we can get you through that.
Right.
And if you're listening and you're like, oh, I want to do this, find me. Okay, find me on all of my socials. Just look up Dr. Kristen Lyerly, send me a message. I've got Justin's number. So if you feel inspired by Justin, you want to get in touch with him, Justin, it wouldn't be like the grocery store or the bar, but like, I'll hit you up.
Yeah, no, like I said, I encourage everybody, you know, in my township, at the county level, like, get involved in something. It doesn't even have to be government. I have so many partnerships with nonprofit groups that are so passionate about what they do. And it's fantastic. The passion is what drives the conversations forward. It's what drives ideas. My job as the administrator of the process is to make sure that we check all the boxes and whatever we're doing is legal, that we're protected, that, you know, little Johnny's not riding in a skid steer bucket as we're building a new football field, that we're doing things the right way. But it's that passion of these groups that pushes things forward. So there's a whole thing we haven't talked about in the nonprofit sector, but that's the partners to government. Like, if you, it's not just government to get involved in. Advocate for what you're passionate about. Join a group. Get out there. Step back from behind the keyboard. Join your community.
That is beautiful words to close with. And I love it's that it's about following your passion. It's not about doing something that you're supposed to do or something that somebody else tells you to do, but it's about following your passion and seeing how it all fits together like a puzzle.
Exactly.
Justin Schumacher, town chair from Freedom, Outagamie County Parks Director. I am so grateful to you for taking the time to talk with us today about your journey, what you see in your world, how you are helping to evolve things in the small town where you live and grow and are going to be raising your family.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a pleasure. And friends, you can always find me at Dr. Kristen Lagerland, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Threads, Blue Sky, Substack, YouTube. It's exhausting, really. And if you missed any of our conversation, you can always find that wherever you get your podcasts. And join me every Saturday and Sunday at 3 on WGBW in Green Bay, WISS in Appleton and Oshkosh, and streaming on the Civic Media app. See you next time.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.